Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy, but being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your Ring of Honor post-show here on Fightful. It is September 19th, and we've got a lot to talk about between ROH and TNA. Joe Pearl is going to be going solo all by his lonesome self at the end of this to bring you your TNA post-show while Cresta is out for a little bit. So please show him some love on the back of this. And Mike Santana in a death match, a Texas death match, which are always the deathiest, in, as far as I know, as well as Matt Cardona versus Rhino in action. So please stick around to talk to him about it. We're touching tips over here. We love it. We miss MXM on ROH, I feel like.
We do.
But they're lighting it up elsewhere. But we've got some stuff to talk about with Ring of Honor, man, because this product that felt like it was finding its feet no longer feels that way in these more current episodes. Since the last time you and I have talked, though, a huge TV deal coming down the pike. So we will see what happens now that we are getting $170 million a year from Warner going into the AEW and ROH product. Maybe more, depending on whatever Shockwave is. We're going to find out. But to talk about it all, I'm joined by SB3. This was a short episode, so we might be able to get into some more generalized chat. And whatever you guys want to talk about, please leave a super chat.
And I have an announcement.
Uh-oh.
This episode was a short one, and it's been a while since we had a short one. But you know what has also been a while for, Kate?
The return of the list?
The return of the SP3 list, and it's a special one. It's a special one that relates to me and Kate. Our individual favorites are also one of the greatest rivalries of all time. And Kate had a tweet that got a lot of attention talking about this rivalry, so I thought it was only appropriate. The top five best Bryan versus Nigel matches of all time. Okay. Not just the top five best matches, but I would suggest for fans who want to get up to date and get, you know, I'm here to be a guide for you, because Bryan and Nigel is a feud that's very close to my heart. It's kind of the feud that really made me in love with Ring of Honor and independent wrestling overall. So these are the five matches that I suggest you watch before next Wednesday at Grand Slam.
Brittle Bryan and our dear Nigel McGuinness, both medically cleared to compete on the same timeline, is a blessing. So I'm so glad that we have the list back. I was wondering if there would be an opening for its return. So the good news is the list is awesome. The bad news is it usually means we got shortchanged on them caring about ROH in any way, shape, or form. But we're going to talk about all that and more. Get in those super chats if there's anything you want to talk about. Please also leave a thumbs up on this video. It helps people find us in the algorithm. And that's especially important for this show, of any of the shows that we do here on Fightful. And we'll also remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the biz. You got the Mark Order doing their like claw thing, but we just do the fiver here. We do the five. Best $5 in the business. Some contract news about Kevin Owens went up earlier today. Sounds like he was contacted for a contract renewal by WWE. We'll see what comes of that. He's an interesting one to watch because I think a lot of people assumed he would go to AEW last time. He had more to accomplish. Where's going to pay that guy more? Where is going to give that guy what he wants is something that only he knows and we can watch. Because, man, I love seeing that guy wrestle in either environment for sure. So some good stuff and plenty of more contract news on the way this year. This is an enormous contract year and seemed like that's been the case all year, but there's plenty more to come. Plenty more to come. So subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. You also get a Discord if you want to avoid weirdos and freaks on the internet. You can hop into the Discord. No shade thrown. Shade a little bit thrown. You can. It really is a wonderful environment, a wonderful place to spend time to talk about wrestling and a moderated, really wonderful group of supporters in there. There is also the Ask SRS channel. He does his best to get everything answered for you. There's also the Ask SRS / Backstage Report show on Fightful Select that you can check out as well. And me and Alex Pulowski doing pay-per-view, paywalled, post-shows. Say it 10 times fast, but me and SP3 out here, not running from the grind. That's what we're doing. But SP3, now that people are starting to filter in a little bit, I always try to give us a couple more minutes on the front because we see those numbers going up. We appreciate you checking us out over here. But you have been on the Collision post show over the past couple weeks. You joined me for that Collision hybrid SmackDown post show that we did a couple weeks ago. Kind of feels like that's ROH Jobber Edition because we see so many of them just like being used as enhancement talent. This product is once again feeling really directionless to me, and I have mixed feelings about that because I love seeing talent get the opportunity to show up on Collision. I love seeing things like Deonna and Taya Valkyrie, spoiler alert, that's coming down the pike, as an alliance. I got to see that live yesterday start to come to fruition, so it is great to see talent start of advance and move on, but it's giving us nothing to invest in this product. And it feels like a lot of the talent that have been there consistently kind of just spinning its wheels, especially in that multi-man division. Are you feeling as kind of down on this as I am again?
It's feeling once again like ROH dark. It's just a series of matches. Sometimes you'll get people that are kind of on the same level. Like we got Infantry versus SAP on this show, which was kind of a match where I was like, hey, this is cool because I don't really know who should win this one. Maybe SAP should win. The Infantry is great, but you know, SAP has been getting a little bit more of a push. So it was nice to see them mixing it up. We actually got champions in the main event matchup, which is something that Kate always asks for. So that's something to look positive on. But yeah, there's no like direction for anything. And like the biggest, this episode gets the biggest thumbs up because Athena sets the record for the longest reigning Ring of Honor champion of all time, and she's not on the show, like
not
at all.
Show, no celebration,
no mention, no congratulations. You would think that nothing's happened. You if you watch this show and this is your first time watching Ring of Honor, you just got Honor Club. You would think you don't know. You don't even know who the Ring of Honor Women's World Champion is because there was absolutely no mention of her. Maybe it was during Red Velvet and Allison Kay, but that's not enough.
I don't think there was.
So yeah, this is that's a big L. That's a big L for this episode overall. This should have been something. Like, even if you didn't record anything when these matches were taped, at least do a plug-in. Do a whole plug-in of, like, hey, congratulations to Athena. Do the voiceover. Do highlights. Congratulations. Setting a record. Passing Samoa Joe. Y'all been talking about it for weeks, and then it happens, and then y'all don't say anything about it.
It is genuinely very, like, that kind of upsets me. That kind of upsets me because she's been the stalwart of the brand. She broke Samoa Joe's record. She has single-handedly carried them through a sea of just, when I say careless booking, I mean with booking with no care. Like, booking without the intent to follow through on any of the creative that you're setting up for this product in general. And she's been the one thing that has always been consistent, always the bright shining star of this. At your point, there was at least champions on the show. There were wrestlers and tag teams that felt like they were on the same level. There's no contenderships for anything. It's really, really it's frustrating that it makes it the worst, like, televised product under the AEW, between WWE and AEW, and it breaks my heart to say, because it was my favorite brand from a historic standpoint. But, like, this is just a complete lack of effort on their part. And the talent deserved better. That's what I always go back to. Like, it's less fun for us to watch, but, like, why should the infantry be motivated right now? Why should, like, any of the women that were in that tournament really be motivated right now? Like, it's really rough. It's really rough, and it's unfair to them. But Ryan Lambert saying, remember to like the vid and touch those tips. Yes, please. Touch those tips in the chat. Please leave on the YouTube comment section tip touching. I love to confuse people, so that's a really fun thing. I think Sean has his fruit emoji gimmick on Mondays. You guys can do the tip touching gimmick there. Miss MXM on these episodes for sure. But Shane Monster saying, TMDK SP3 body problem. Got a jet. Sign Maggie Lee. Yes, she is excellent. I'm always impressed by her when she's on ROH, and from the limited stuff I've gotten to see from her on the indies, would not be mad about seeing her signed, but I would also like them to see a more efficient use of the roster that they do have on ROH. That would be refreshing. But Meet Normus, I think, asking if his chat went through. We don't do Humper Chats on Thursday, so if you sent it via Humper Chat, just put it in the regular chat, and I will read it. If you send it via Super Chat, it didn't go through. So that's the dealy deal with that. But we always appreciate your support, Meat Normus. I give it 2 fillets up, and I'm a vegan, so we appreciate you here.
I can't chew. I'm beef. That's my the best catchphrase in the business today, ladies and gentlemen.
Can't chew on beef. He's your dude. I love that you're so in on beef. And, like, I enjoy him a lot, but, like, he's, like, your guy, and I respect that.
I buy stock in people. Like, I've already I bought low on the Outrunner stock. You know, I was a little so-so when they were on Ring of Honor, but once they started selling them T-shirts, they could get that big pop in Chicago when I came on the Collision/SmackDown post-show. I bought my stock then. Bought it low. Now I'm in on it. I'm like, they're the next AEW World Tag Team Champions. But Beef, I'm telling y'all, Beef, he needs to be the pure champion, the television champion, the Ring of Honor World Champion. If you want to turn this whole brand around, you gotta buy that stock in Beef. I'm trying to help y'all with y'all stock exchange. You buy low, you're going to sell high. You can sell high, but I'm going to keep my investment in Beef. Beef is going all the way.
I respect and appreciate that very, very much. But let's get into this episode of Ring of Honor. Beef and more. We've got so much to talk about with Capricity and, of course, welcoming everybody to the broadcast. And we get our Proving Ground match between Red Velvet and Allison Kay opening up this show, and Red Velvet getting the win here. Very nice to see Allison Kay back as well. Loved the return of Maggie Lee, but Allison Kay feels like someone that is a ready-made star if they ever did want to put pen to paper with her. Like, definitely has something that is unique in her own. We are kind of getting to the point, in my opinion, with this division on the women's side that has grown so much that the things that I think are missing are big-time matches for the women, i.e. your casino gauntlets and things like that. A couple more stables I think would be good. I've been saying for a long time Serena Deeb having a dojo that's just a flag with no students in it doesn't really make sense. So stables for the women would be really good. And I think we're at the point where a legitimate traveling tag team belt is something that is needed. If they're going to expand into whatever Shockwave might be, I really think traveling tag belts would be a very good idea, because this roster is only getting bigger. There are people that are coming back from injury. You certainly want to cultivate a continued and healthy women's wrestling environment. You're going to want to continue to be able to sign people and have places for them to go. They're kind of running out of space, which is not a problem I thought this division would ever have under the AEW ROH umbrella. Let's get tag titles in here. I think if you wanted the Hex to come in and be a part of it, maybe even your inaugural winners, I think that's something that could be really fun. But always happy to see Allison Kay on my television. Red Velvet, we say it every week, just like a transformed wrestler from who she came in as. Doing cooler finishers, doing cooler stuff in the ring. A little less reckless, but still violent. I really, really like it from her. Good stuff here. And hey, we're seeing more action from her than we got to see from Billy Starks. No fault of her own. But some good stuff here. I do got to say, both situations that we had proving ground matches for tonight, why weren't they just defenses then, right? Like, if they're going to be losing anyway, at some point you should just have it be defenses. But a good opening contest. What did you think? Oh, no, is SP3 frozen? Am I frozen? Who's frozen? Me and SP3 both have bad internet. Oh, no. I think SP3 is frozen, though. Chat, let me know who's frozen. I think it's SP3. Wow, he froze out and just left. Dang. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I liked the match. And if SP3 is just going to leave, that's how bad this episode was, okay? SP3 just had a peace out. That's how unhappy we were with this episode. But we will let him get his internet together, let him get his thoughts back together, and we'll continue on with this episode. But we do have a little bit of time because this was a shorter episode. But in the chat, let me know what you want to talk about. If there's anything you want to talk about under the AEW ROH umbrella that you would like to discuss. Tim McFowell with a lovely chat saying, money because Kate deserves it for dealing with internet weirdos and because SP3 is awesome. I can't justify the money for ROH anymore, and that makes me sad because Red, Athena, Red, Ian, Caprice, and so many more are amazing. Yes, that's what I always go back to, is that the talent deserves better. The talent deserves better. Thank you for the money. Sadly, very used to people being weird at me on the internet, but SP3 is, in fact, awesome. Be kind to other people. Usually if people are acting weird toward you, I always just try and think of terms of, like, you never know what they're going through, that it makes them feel good to act mean, right? Like, not to get too philosophical on a wrestling post show, but, like, if you feel good being mean to people, something's going on with you, and that's really sad. That's really sad. So, you just never know. You just never know. Is the consensus about ROH the same outside of Fightful? I think so. I think a lot of people feel like it's fun and the talent is great, but that the product is directionless. I think almost unanimously people feel like this is a much better product when we've had consistent tapings and they've been forced to plan out what they want to do for a series of weeks. So I think there's a lot of agreement across that. I love the talent that's there, so part of me griping every Thursday is me wanting better for them, because I think there's some really, really good world-class talent on there. But I think SP3 might have his stuff straightened out. Get your shit together, SP3! Oh no, now I can't hear you! Oh no. The technology gods are coming at us again. I got nothing. Should I start just miming my mouth and pretending like...
How about now?
There he is.
All right. Cool.
I was going to start just going like... and messing with you back, but...
It was so weird because it was like my headphones first cut off, so I couldn't hear you. So I was like, okay, what's wrong with that? So I went to check that, and then my whole screen goes black, and it says, you encountered a problem restarting computer. I was like... what the hell just happened?
Done, done, done. Well, you're back now. But I'm here. And you're better than ever. So
I'm back and better than ever. But no, I did like Red Velvet getting the win in the opener. I don't know where you're at right now.
No, we kind of just we're having a little bit of a side discussion until you were able to come back and give your thoughts. I'm very impressed that you remembered where we left off. If I was in your situation, I would have been like, what the hell are we talking about? But yes, I had gone on a substantive rant about them introducing tag belts, but also kind of found our way back to what we got out of Red Velvet and Allison Kay tonight.
Yeah, it was a good stuff. I liked it, you know, Allison Kay kind of no-selling, like, the clotheslines at one point, showing that she was, like, the bigger of the two individuals. And I agree with you. I think Allison Kay is just so talented and someone that probably should have been signed by now. Like, I know she's kind of been floating since the Hex were NWA tag team champions. What was that, like 2 years ago now or a year ago at this point? So I think that she would be, you know, a good addition to Ring of Honor, someone with experience, someone that could help out other people, whether it be like in just a small feud or potentially in one of the title divisions. And it would be someone that you can kind of like place into that Ring of Honor women's division alongside like someone like Rachel Ellering, who seems like she's getting a more prominent role right now.
That was exactly who I was thinking of when we were talking about a little bit of like a place that Allison Kay could settle into. Very much I could see her in a similar role to where Rachel Ellering's been, where she's been in and out of longer term stories. She hasn't really fully been in a title picture, but you could heat her up real fast if you need to. Really likable. I think Allison Kay could probably play babyface or heel extremely well, but some good stuff tonight. Some good stuff tonight from both ladies and our TV champion putting together what I'm hoping feels like a productive reign, since that Billy Starks one didn't really go anywhere, and this is supposed to be like an exciting belt. This is a women's mid-card belt. We don't really have that in either company on either brand. So yeah. That should be something that feels very important. NXT, of course, has theirs, but I would say similarly, the booking has suffered a little bit. But let's move along to this video package we get, which is a recap of Dustin Rhodes and their feud with the Dark Order. Ahead of the Proving Ground match tonight, we'll of course talk about that later in the evening, because that is your main event for tonight. We move on to Gates of Agony, who defeat Dante Leon and Trip Jordy with the Open the Gates on Leon. You're going to hear me say this a lot tonight, and you heard me say it a lot last week. Perfectly fine match. Why? Why'd it happen?
Don't know.
What are they in contendership for? What do these wins mean? Trio? Are they like, I get that they're Cage of Agony when Brian Cage is around, but like, which division are you in on ROH? Are you on ROH? Do you just beat people up after matches on behalf of other people? Like, what is the identity? Because I'll tell you what, like, Khan and Leona, like, very underrated, in my opinion, as far as workers. Especially yeah. Leona. Like, very, very smooth in the ring. Very underrated. I would love to see, like, if you're not going to use these guys, have them do World Tag League again and have them go on a real run. The same way that Takeshita had a really great G1 and he's able to ride some momentum out of that. Like, do that. Do that, because they are just aimlessly floating around the product, and, like, a lot of people, I feel like, are on this product. Perfectly serviceable match, no problem with it. They looked good, but I'm already aware that they are big and angry and can wrestle. Give me something the frick else, and give them something to do. You're wasting their talent and their time on stuff like this. What did you think of this match, and do you know where it's headed? Because I don't.
I mean, the only issue with them being a World Tag League is that you have to do something with them after World Tag League. And that's, I think, true. It was, I don't think it was this week, but a couple of weeks ago, I thought it was hilarious when Ian said, you know, oh, these guys, you know, recently were in World Tag League 2023. I was like, Ian, you said recently. Recently and World Tag League 2023. I don't think that's the same thing. But yeah, I agree with you. If you're going to do a squash match, we want to see where that's heading to. What are you setting up? Are they going to be in the tag team title division? And I think we got more of an answer to that by the end of the show, that maybe, yeah, they're going to be contenders to go after Dustin and Sammy Guevara, or them and Brian Cage is going after Dustin and the Von Erichs. And we haven't got any explanation of where the Von Erichs are, since we're not in Texas anymore. It's like,
they're not allowed to leave the state. They're Texas that they only can defend in Texas.
Apparently they can't go beyond state lines of Texas. So crazy. They got to get their work visa to get out of Texas.
They can, but they have to change their name. Like, if you are a Von Erich, you have to stay within Texas. You're not allowed to leave. So they can go, but they would have to be like the Van Erichs or something. They would have to change it up. And they could leave via van. It's perfect. And they could
Van Erich.
They could have Viva Van in their stable. I am a genius, I think. I think I'm a genius.
Look at that. You just found the role for Viva Van. She could be a part of the Van Erich stable. Van Erich and Rhodes. The Van Erich has to go on the road.
The roads.
to Rhodes to Dustin.
Shit, we're good at this. Look at My God.
We just gave you a whole story. That's like 6 months of TV for Ring of Honor standards. They do 5 months of squashes, and then they do a month of actual real matches. There you go.
That's Ring of Honor. And then someone comes from the main roster and wins. So it's great.
I feel like, you know, I really was like thinking about this, watching this show, Kate. I was like, where did this all go wrong? Because we were high on this show like 2 months ago. You know where it all went wrong? Dustin Rhodes wins all the tag team titles. That's where it all. I'm sorry, Dustin. I like you. I was complimenting you 2 months ago too. Your selling, your ability to connect with the fans. It's great. It's fantastic. It honestly would have been a much better story of you winning all these titles and then going for the world championship, because Mark Briscoe hasn't had a story on this company and like in this brand in what feels like months. I think it was like a month and a half ago he faced Beast Mortos, which was a story started on AEW that just translated into over here. But now Beast Mortos on to bigger and better things. Mark Briscoe don't even think about the Ring of Honor World Championship. He's too busy dropping change on Chris Jericho's car. So like, it all went wrong when we started giving Dustin Rhodes too much, just to find out that his contract's expired in like 2 days, and he has like 8 different titles.
I have a fair compromise. When he's with the Von Erichs, he's Dustin Rhodes. But when he's with Sammy Guevara, he has to revive the character of Seven. Your thoughts?
I like it. I'm here for it.
It worked out so well the first time that I think.
So, like, say he wants to go on AEW television. He's already got the Ring of Honor 6-man tag team titles. He can be, you know, Dustin Rhodes with the Von Erichs with that. He could be Seven with Sammy Guevara, Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions. But then he can go to AEW and win the AEW World Tag Team titles with Shane Taylor, and he's Black Reign.
I'm in 100%. We got to see Black Taurus, Beast Mortos, because he was
with STP.
His name, he was with Shane Taylor Promotions. Black Reign, I'm in. Meet Norma sharing in our frustrations here, saying ROH felt like Dork Elevation. Damn auto Corvettes. I think Twitter is Dork Elevation actually, but I hope this goes to Max so they have to care. I hope this is included in Max for a lot of reasons. One, it would streamline login fatigue for a lot of people. I think if you see a lot of AEW go to Max purely, I think you're going to see people giving up on Honor Club faster, because they're going to be like, well, I get my pay-per-views on this thing. I'm hoping maybe they have simulcasting in it. Like, I'm going to get to watch it in real time. I'll just nix this other thing and go full in on this one thing. And I think it's important that they do that. And I think it's egregious that they charge $10 a month for this product that they don't care about and expect everybody. It's the highest thing to pay for, like in wrestling. So outside of pay-per-views, obviously. So I'm with you. I hope they move to Max for that. And I also think that's just good added value on Max, because ROH is a product that people can pick up and drop off whenever they feel like it. I think actually works a lot better. But let's keep it plugging down the road. Thank you for the support tonight. We need it, because this was a rough little episode. I love my talent on it, though, and I like seeing Preston Vance get this fresh start. Be enormous with a piece of a bit that carries over throughout the week, saying, I need to put some respect on Preston Vance's name when talking about Meat Mayhem. Hopefully he stays away from the Dark Order and gets a proper push. So here's the thing. I review NXT, as you know.
Yes.
And there was a long time on there where every women's promo had the feel or the exact phrase of put some respect on my name. And that became put some respect on my name, because they all talk like they're Valley Girls and WWE cadence. So now that's just something we say all the time throughout the week now, me and Alex Pulowski. You do need to put some respect on Preston Vance's name when it comes to his meatiness, because he beat Brandon Cutler with a discus lariat that was so big it made Nigel McGuinness squeal with joy, I'm sure. So after I get SP3's thoughts about this match, we're going to crack open the list. And I want to hear your number five and number four. But first of all, what did you think of this match? And second of all, what do you think of this reboot of Preston Vance? I think it's in its infancy, but I think it's a smart direction for them to go.
Yeah, the match was fine. It was a little bit more than a squash, so it made it different on this card. That's already a bonus in its favor. And I'm willing to give Preston Vance a chance over here. I think that he has more upward mobility in a Ring of Honor setting than he ever will in an AEW setting. I think that AEW is kind of like their main roster, but he's still a developing type of guy. So he's perfect for Ring of Honor. And I'm liking this whole, you know, reboot for him and him actually being a babyface, coming down the babyface tunnel too. So you can tell, just in case you weren't sure, he is a babyface. So I like Preston Vance. I'm willing to give him more of a chance on Ring of Honor. So yeah, I'm digging this so far. So far, so good in my book.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
I'm digging it too, but you know what else I dig? Nigel McGuinness and Brian Danielson. You know what I don't dig? clams, because I'm a civilian and a lady and an animal rights activist, and I respect the clams. So I don't go digging clams, but I dig me some Nigel McGuinness and Brian Danielson feud. What do you have for us on number five and number four on your list here?
All right, so number five on my list, I think it was just appropriate. Like, I had a couple of different ones where I was like, hey, maybe this can be number five. Maybe Epic Encounter, when they went to a 60-minute time limit draw in a 2 out of 3 falls matchup. Maybe that can be number five. I said, maybe their 20-minute time limit draw in Survival of the Fittest in 2007. Maybe their first big matchup in Ring of Honor, a weekend of champions, where Nigel won by count out by cheating against Bryan Danielson in a pure rules matchup. I was like, those couple of matches were there, but I think it was very appropriate that I make this number five, because like I said, I want you guys to go out of your way to watch these matchups. If you watch Ring of Honor like we do, you got Honor Club already, and a lot of these matches are available to you. And if not, you can find them on YouTube as well. But number five, Glory by Honor, the final countdown. The whole reason why we're doing this matchup next Wednesday is because it is on the eve of the 15th anniversary of their final matchup in Ring of Honor. And I was there live in 2009. So it was one of the rare cases that I got to see one of these matches between Nigel and Bryan Danielson. And I remember the whole build with Bryan versus guys like Davey Richards and Kevin Steen along the way to his final countdown. It was very much like the graduation for both guys, because both guys were supposed to go to WWE together. So it was like two of the legends of Ring of Honor going at it one last time before they go off and become big stars on the main stage of WWE. It was like very emotional night being in that building, and New York loves Bryan Danielson, and they've had such a unique relationship with Nigel McGuinness. We were the first crowd that booed Nigel out the building when he got hurt for a title defense at Final Battle 2007. So to see 2 years later, him in that stage after his great Ring of Honor world title run facing Bryan in front of a sold out crowd in the Hammerstein Ballroom, that is the reason. It's not one of their best matches, but I think it's one of their most important that you have to go out of your way to see. So Final Countdown in 2009, Glory by Honor, Nigel and Bryan, their final match in Ring of Honor. That's number five. And number four is also from the Hammerstein Ballroom, but we'll go a year earlier from 6th anniversary show between Nigel McGuinness defending the Ring of Honor World Championship against Bryan Danielson. And like I said, kind of going back to what I said before, it stems from that whole controversy that really started at the beginning of Nigel McGuinness' world title run, where he faces Austin Aries at Rising Above 2007, gets his head bashed into the barricade, and then the next night, he's supposed to defend the title at Final Battle back in Hammerstein, and he says that he's too hurt. He had a concussion. He said he's too hurt, and we booed him out the building, because we're like, no, Bryan went through injuries, and he kept defending his title. He kept showing up for us, so we're gonna boo you out the building. And it started his whole heel turn, where it really took his whole title reign to the next level, because the fans rallied behind him. He became a fan favorite, chasing the title against Bryan, and then eventually being the guy that dethroned Morishima. But just him being hurt, or in his body kind of giving out on him, turned the whole fans against him, and it was really stemming from New York. So coming back to New York a few months later, him and Bryan Danielson facing, and I love the stipulation that they set up in a promo earlier in the night, where Bryan couldn't do any headshots, any moves to the head, none of the hammer and anvil elbows. He had to beat him by using, you know, wrestling moves. So it was a great stipulation. And then in the end, Nigel using the hammer and elbows to Bryan, because Bryan couldn't use it against him, and then beating him with the London Dungeon after Bryan was already knocked out. Great finish. The storytelling was exceptional. And that was my first time live seeing Nigel versus Bryan one-on-one. So that's why it's number four on my list.
You're going to hear SP3 get to brag a lot with this list, I feel like, but it is.
That's all my bragging. That's the two matches on my list. That's the two matches on my list that I was live for, so no more bragging. I wanted to get the bragging out the way.
That's fair. I respect that. But it is something that pops me. I think of that match a lot when I see the Blackpool Combat Club use those hammer and anvil strikes in present day. And just when I hear Nigel talk about Brittle Bryan and picking on him for not being able to follow through with certain matches or whatever, I think about that, of him being concussed. And it's almost as if him as a heel commentator is continuing their story. But I will.
So it's like they actually have a story. I actually had someone in my chat over on True Hill Heat that was like, oh, yeah, so what, they first 15 years ago? There's no story. I was like, it's kind of like you haven't been listening to Nigel this whole time, because he's kind of said the story. And then they did a whole video package last night that explained the story again. But oh, I guess there's no story. Okay.
Can't find it. Can't find the story.
I think people don't get it confused. It's okay if you say, this story is not for me, I don't like the story. But to say that there's no story, you are lying to yourself.
Yeah, and it is like, I tweeted something that got a lot of traction earlier, and I don't want to trudge it up too much, but my point was, when you go back and dive into the matches, like SP3 is pointing out, like you can find on YouTube, like you can find with a simple Google search, it enriches the story that is being told to you. It enriches Nigel McGuinness's commentary over the past few years holding a 20-year grudge against Bryan Danielson. It enriches what you see in the video packages. And my favorite thing about wrestling, and my favorite thing about any art form, is how many different ways there are to tell stories. Like, WWE's gotten much better under Triple H at expanding the way that they tell stories, but I think you can go even broader. And AEW goes broader, and New Japan goes completely different, right? Because they are not live weekly episodic television, they're a live events company. And it's a blessing to be in a wrestling timeline when there's so many different ways to tell stories. Not a curse, but it's a better experience for, in my opinion, as a fan, to be open-minded to the ways that those stories get told. So if there are certain layers that aren't being spoon-fed to you, but the current stories are brought to more vibrant colors on screen when you do go back and watch stuff, like, to me, that's worth it. I do the same thing with music. I don't assume that the best music is on the most accessible radio or Spotify playlist in present day. Like, I go back and listen to a lot of other stuff. That's just the way that I consume art. And I think it's an important thing, because it's so much more rewarding to watch the evolution of stuff, in my opinion. But what do I know? I'm just a media personality, talking head, so-called journalist over here. But the so-called youngest men alive, the Outrunners, Truth Magnum, Turbo Floyd, and Eric Kali are out, and they cut a promo calling out the Iron Savages, Boulder Bronson and Jack Jameson, and they said that they respected their muscles, but that they did not have any glamour, and that they would take them on any time, any place. SP3, we've been in on the Outrunners for a while, you especially. They are a hot merch seller. They're getting incredible ovations in Kentucky. I said this a while ago, big month for the Silly Gooses. MXM really connecting with the crowd. The Outrunners really connecting with the crowd. But what I like about it is there's room for that in the AEW tag division when you have FTR, when you have GYV. There's like a lot of space for diversity of types of tag teams. And I'm all for fun tag teams when A, they can back it up in the ring, and B, there's a cleverness to the silliness, right? Like, there's something that is compelling you to get down to the ring. I feel like MXN has done a phenomenal job doing that. And I think the Outrunners doing stuff like this is another great example of it. Very fun. But they're hitting them where it hurts by saying they have no glamour here. I mean, is the Savage Sauce not glamorous, SP3? Your thoughts?
Well, they said, they specified, they think they have the glitz, but they don't have the glamour. Sure. The Outrunners have the glamour, and they're ready to go. They toss in their sunglasses. I love the Truth. And like, tell him, Floyd. Like, he was Animal taking it over to Hawk. Tell him, Hawk. It was great. It was great stuff. I love the Outrunners. It's so much fun. They're just charisma plus 10. And I'm telling y'all, you want to see the Outrunners at their peak? Put them against the EVPs. I think that these two characters are just going to make magic together, and that's why the Outrunners are your next AEW World Tag Team Champions.
I agree. I agree. I think that's the inevitable path that they're on. I feel like let's just do it. Let's just do it. You know what? Let's liven it up. I can't. Osprey and Fletcher are okay, but are they? They're not young enough, I don't think.
No, so. They're not the youngest men alive.
Certainly not. A welcome breath of fresh. I keep hearing with MXM the phrase, there's such a breath of fresh air. I feel like that's true with the Outrunners too, especially in a more sports-focused product most of the time with ROH. Like, having something like this is very fun, in my opinion. Well, thankfully, speaking of young, growing talent, we have KM in action with John Silver. John Silver actually looked really good here, winning with that helicopter drop, which looked awesome. He's so explosive with his offense. He's so crisp. And I feel like John Silver, because he has such a big personality, sometimes gets underrated as a worker. But, like, dude can go. Everything looks so sharp in his offense. And he's sneaky strong and sneaky quick with stuff. Like, I love when he and Reynolds tag together because I think their combination is really, really well-rounded as a tag team. But a little meat man here, I like it. I like seeing him in singles action. Don't know where any of this is going. Don't know what a win over KM gives you, but God bless. Again, never bad matches on ROH. Just wondering why they're happening. John Silver is not a men's contender for any belt. Like, what are we doing?
This worked in a vacuum. I like seeing John Silver in singles action. He's good. I like seeing him toss around a big guy. That's always fun. But it's when you take it out of the vacuum, this doesn't work. Because what's the point? Two, sure. are the Dark Order both babyface and heel? Because I saw them in both roles on this show. So it's like he was John Silver was babyface here, and then later in the night they're heels helping the other heels, Cage of Agony, beat down the clearly babyface Ring of Honor tag team champions. So I was very confused by the end of the show. I was like, okay, it feels like I'm watching AEW in 2023 on Dynamite and Collision when Blackpool Combat Club were heels on one show and babyfaces on the other.
That is a very apt comparison. I love getting to see the Dark Order on my screen, though. I will say that. They were shelved for way too long. It would just be nice to see them have a consistent creative direction. Sound familiar? It's because we're saying it all damn episode. Matthew Hooks saying, meaningful stories, characters. Why watch ROH if I could see the same people on regular AEW television? Yeah. That's a very, very good point. Why am I paying $9.99 to see them if they're not going to be in stories when I can see the same talent getting reps on Collision? I guess because on ROH, one of them has to win eventually, and they're they just are constantly losing on Collision for some reason, which used to be.
That's so true.
They just keep gutting my favorite brands. Like, Collision was so for me because it was, like, so in-ring story-focused, and now it's just, like, waving in the wind, it feels like. But I will say, there's no way that you signed the deal that you did and not have some clarity around the direction you're heading in, right? So we will see what's to come. But purchasing TV time is Mark Sterling and Josh Woods, who talk about Josh Woods' ridiculous tombstone suplex. And says Mark Sterling says he could hit that on anyone at any time, and I believe him. My personal attorney, Mark Sterling, buying TV time here. Ian Riccaboni questioning the legality of it. I would like to point out that Tony Khan bought TV time when they had their Impact, their TNA relationship. So pretty sure it's legal, Ian. Rare Ian Riccaboni L, I would say. Come on now. But that truly is such an impressive move. I don't usually love stories that are built around one move unless it's going to be. That's a case where squashes are warranted, right? Like, if you're going to do a story around that move, Josh Woods should be getting weekly wins for 7 weeks in a row or something with that move. Maybe not 7 weeks. But the point being, like, if you're trying to make it a Brock Lesnar F5 level of being lethal, like, you need to have him squashing people specifically with that move constantly. It is one of the most impressive things I've seen in a wrestling ring. Like, it is genuinely an incredible, incredible thing that not a lot of people do. So it feels specific to Josh Woods, and it feels like a leading piece of who they want the premier athletes to be. And I like the emphasis on Josh Woods that Mark Sterling is placing. Like, one thing I like about AEW managers is the direction that they're in as far as showcasing the talent they're managing and not becoming the story. And it feels like your Stokely Hathaways and your Mark Sterlings are really, really in that. Nana, of course, like, doing a great job showcasing and helping move stories along without becoming too much at the center of them. But this was perfectly fine. I just want to see Josh Woods headed towards something like I want for a lot of other talent. My kingdom for a singles male competitor that feels like he's headed toward a title. That's it. Like, what did you think of our our purchased TV time here?
Effective in getting some type of story for Josh Woods as far as his finisher, like you said, is so impressive. I agree with you. You got to give him some squash victories and maybe a victory over someone that, you know, someone of some stature. Not, doesn't have to be anyone big. It could be someone like Angelico or something like that, but someone who has been picking up wins that we've seen on Ring of Honor television. I think that would be a good way to get it over and then potentially move Woods into like the pure division, television title division, or world title division. Like, we need some of these singles acts who be after one of these titles and not just, hey, I'm challenging the champion for next week. Let's build to them picking up wins so they can get into title contention.
I agree. I agree with you. That is a fundamental part of having champions around is having contenders for them. So that would be neat. Josh Woods is someone that Angelico is a great, or Angelico. They changed the pronunciation, so I don't know. But he would be a great show. Like, I could watch a best of five, best of seven between Angelico and Josh Woods. Yeah. Like, give me that all day. But this is the problem when it doesn't feel like really anybody feels important. You can't make people if your champions aren't around, kind of thing. So a tough thing, but nothing and nobody and no one will ever be as tough as Nigel McGuinness. So hit us with number three on the list.
So number three for me, going back to 2008, we talked about sixth anniversary show. You know, that was number four. Number three, rising above 2008 in Chicago, Bryan Danielson challenging Nigel McGuinness for the ROH World Championship. I really love the build to this matchup with Nigel basically giving Bryan the goal of beating every person he beat on pay-per-view before he got another shot at the Ring of Honor World Championship after losing to him in February at the sixth anniversary. And then they face again for the championship in November after Bryan beat, you know, all the people that that Nigel beat on pay-per-view. And just the vibes of Chicago. Chicago Ridge was always one of the best places for a Ring of Honor event. And they were fully behind Bryan and the selling of Bryan because he had a bad knee going into the matchup. The inclusion of, you know, Claudio Castagnoli and his rivalry with Bryan, him coming out to smash Bryan's head on the ramp and bust him open, and Bryan struggling to get to the ropes as he's in the half crab, busted open. And I loved how Bryan, when he had the longer hair, he would always flip up his hair to make everybody see, I'm bleeding, I'm struggling, I'm almost crying. I love the drama that was in that matchup. Like, I actually rewatched it because we had time between the end of the show and this show. I rewatched that matchup so I can put it in the right place. And I think number three is the right place for the matchup because it felt like a genuine Ring of Honor world title matchup on a big time show, on a pay-per-view. Nigel McGuinness, the consummate heel champion, versus Bryan Danielson, the ultimate underdog babyface. This is one of their best matches together, and it really delivered. And one of their last matches before their final match in 2009 as well.
I agree. And it's so funny, as you were talking about the build and Nigel saying you have to beat everybody I beat to get to me. There's so many things in this rivalry that are great textbooks for present-day ROH or any wrestling company. Like, there are certain things that this rivalry did that, if you want to tell in-ring focused stories, are just a perfect blueprint. And that piece of it is one of them. We've seen hints of things like that. But, like, just that idea of it being built on the pride of you have to beat everybody that I beat, is an underutilized play, and it was executed maybe most perfectly in this rivalry because the work rate of both of these guys was so high. So a good choice for number three, a good number three for sure. Well, no Harley Cameron today. She did not visit Raw or say hi to Rhea, but we do have Rachel Elring, who is here and defeats Maggie Lee with that Boss Woman Slam in what I thought was a really fun match. I was glad they gave this time because I really like seeing Maggie Lee in action, and not because we're hair twins. She's a little bit more maybe natural of a redhead than me. But she's really skilled. She's a really skilled professional women's wrestler. I think we're really starting to see this new crop of women's talent that are like sign ready start to emerge. I feel like there was a time here where saw a lot of them graduate up to getting signed, like Roxanne, Willow, like anybody who was in that ROH women's tournament. I like to see Jasmine Allure around when she's ready to be back around, but things like that. A lot of them signed and moved up and moved on, or even have moved on to things like NWA or whatever. We're now starting to see the next women up really start to rise to the top here. And I think Maggie Lee is on the forefront of that conversation. I really do, especially for the American scene. I think she's great. So I was glad that they gave this time. Not a surprising result. This is a match that didn't really have a ton around it that I think was still good just to keep Rachel Elring looking strong. And I think it was still productive, even though Harley wasn't around and we don't really know what way it's going. Like, Rachel Elring picking up W's is probably a good thing just to keep stuff fresh. But really nice match, and I really like Maggie Lee a lot. I think there's a lot to see from her in the future, and I hope we get to see more from her, hopefully on a television brand at some point. I think she's great. What did you think of this ladies' match?
And a limited look at Maggie Lee. I like what she offered in this matchup. She made a good foil for Rachel Elring. And Rachel Elring, you could see the confidence kind of growing in her, both as a character and just her in the ring, getting her feet under her in Ring of Honor and AEW. The Boss Woman Slam, she does it very, very well. Love it. Love them calling it the Boss Woman Slam, first of all, because that's a nice touch there. But yeah, this was good to kind of keep the rivalry going, because commentary did focus on the fact that, you know, she has the ongoing rivalry with Harley Cameron. And like I will say once again, I might sound like I'm complaining, but I will say once again, we got a lot more attention to the Rachel Elring Harley Cameron feud, where if you watch this show, you wouldn't know that Abaddon is feuding with Athena right now. So
yeah, a lot of the editing was out of order from a lot of these tapings, but it feels like by now they should have been back on track. And there are people who get paid to make stuff make sense, and they should be doing that.
And I don't ask for much.
To your point, like, us not getting anything to do with Athena is so disappointing. It's so disappointing. It doesn't really matter, like, if you're a great women's wrestling brand, if you're not going to do anything with it. Like, Athena's never allowed to compete outside of ROH. She's had this historic title reign. They've done nothing with it to the point where, like, it feels like the payoff is just getting delayed and delayed and delayed, and that needs to stop. So very, very disappointing. Very, very disappointing on that front. But some of the best women's workers in the world, when they're cooking, they are absolutely cooking. But when they're not, it makes me concerned for the lack of care. But yes, there was not a lack of beef on the show, and I know you're excited about that. So let's talk about this Anthony Henry and beef. Rode as a tag team while JD Drake is sidelined here in this vignette. Really dramatic stuff from beef in this, I felt. Cousin! You love him so much, SP3.
Oh my god, this was the best video package I've seen all week. Yes, even better than the Nigel and Brian video package, because Kate, did you notice that they use the same theme song from the Beef It's What's For Dinner commercials?
I thought it was that. Yes. Okay, yes, brilliant.
Yes, they did. That was brilliant. Brilliant stuff. When I heard the song, I was like, where have I heard this before? And then I looked it up, and I was like, oh, Beef It's What's For Dinner. This was phenomenal. Awesome.
I thought that's what it was.
I need a t-shirt that says, I can't chill, I'm beef.
I can't chill, I'm beef. Now, that's concerning because you don't want your beef to get spoiled. You know what I mean? You got to be able to freeze it.
That's true. But he can't chill. He's too sweaty. He's too wet.
He's too wet. Beef in action right now. So Meat Normus gets to... We just love that for him. He's Meat Normus. So a wrestler named Beef, break out all the beef emojis. We love that for you. Guys, get in those super chats as we continue down this episode of ROH. If you don't know what to chat about, I get it. This was not a very strong episode, but we'll talk about it all with you. We will talk about AEW. We will talk about number two on SP3's list.
So number two, I go to 2007 and Driven, which is very confusing because how they taped those old Ring of Honor pay-per-views. This wasn't technically on Driven. It was really on the Domination show, but it was on pay-per-view on the Driven show. And this was in Philadelphia, number one contenders match between Bryan Danielson and Nigel McGuinness. It was their first one-on-one matchup after Bryan, you know, took some time off after the end of his Ring of Honor World Championship run in 2006. They met in 2007 in June in Philadelphia. Philadelphia, another one of the great Ring of Honor crowds. And oh my God, when you talk about like old school Ring of Honor fans talking this to like it. Newer fans, yeah. They talk about this matchup back because of that, because of the headbutt spot. The headbutt yes. spot of them oh, just God. clonking. And you if you want to be like, hey, Nigel, you know, he retired because of concussions. I always say, just watch that match and you'll see why he had concussions that caught up to him. It starts here when they're just clunking, or it starts in another match that I might mention at number one. But those clonking spot of them just ramming each other's head is not for everybody, but the intensity, the storytelling, the emotion, and then the crowd heat just getting amped up as they're showing their fighting spirit, as they're busted open, clonking heads against one another. It's just high key drama on an independent scene that you will never forget. This is one of the matches that really put Ring of Honor on the map in 2007, especially during their pay-per-view run, their first time running regular pay-per-views. This is on the second pay-per-view for them. I was at the first one. Yes, I did have another humble brag. I was at the first one. Respect is earned in 2007, but this was the next one, Driven, and it was excellent. Go out of your way to watch that one.
It is an appropriate number two. It is an appropriate number two for sure. So it's nice to have the list back, SP3. You missed it. I missed it.
Thank you, Ring of Honor, for the hour and change show.
I know. We had some breathing room for it today, but guys, keep those chats coming. We do have the TNA post show on the back end for you. Hang around and help Joel Pearl out. Streaming solo is always a little bit of a weird one. So hang out with him. Lots to talk about in TNA. That Mike Santana, JDC deathmatch, I'm sure, is going to be something to chit-chat about. So stick around for that. But for now, we're going to talk about the Infantry with Trish Adora defeating SAP with the boot camp. Such a cool finisher. Such a cool stable. No idea why the hell we don't see Trish Adora in singles action more. No idea why the Infantry aren't the tag team champions of this brand. Like, I don't understand where this is going. If you're just going to plateau. I don't understand on an episode like this why Trish Adora doesn't have at least a match here. I would simply choose to make $1 million with her if I had Trish Adora on my roster. But a good match. It's always... They're always great. Like, they always do a great job in stuff like this. This does at least have a little bit of story behind it here, but I don't feel like there was much on this show that had a lack of predictability. And to your point, this was one where, like, both of these teams are being kind of presented equally, so this one could go either way, which was a refreshing thing to see. Kind of figured the Infantry would win here, but what for? To what end? Are they leading toward tag contendership? We have new champions. The one good thing about that is we have a new slate of challengers for those. What did you think of this match? And do you think the Infantry might get set up for a challenge at some point here? I hope so.
I like this matchup because, like I said, I like any matchup where I can't automatically be like, okay, this team is winning 100%. I didn't have that 100% feeling with them going against SAP. It was fine. Good work from both teams. Light infantry getting the victory. But the big nitpick that I have here is that why didn't the Iron Savages come out to attack the infantry? The infantry stuck their nose in their business when they attacked the Outrunners last week. Why don't you have the Iron Savages come out and attack infantry this week to continue that story? But no. They just infantry won. So I was like, I guess we're not telling a story there. We got highlights of what happened last week, but that would have been the most logical follow-up is Iron Savages come out to get some revenge on the infantry.
I actually know why, and it's because of the severe lack of glam. Like, they had their glitz, but they were like, if I'm going to go down to the ring, I need my glam. And they didn't have enough glam. So it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to go out there without your glam. It's happened to me on podcasts. I'm ashamed to admit, like, sometimes you just don't have the glam that night and you can't be doing like a post-match attack in that case. So it's a tough one, but hey, Anthony Ogogo needs to stop hurting people with his knockout pop-up jab here. I was trying to find a way to make that work. It didn't. There was never going to be a way that wasn't going to be a Fozzie Bear situation, but I was desperate to get it in there. Joel's backstage. You're going to see him in a minute, but he's so ashamed of me, which means mission accomplished. Anytime I can disappoint Joel Pearl is a good day for me, but I'm glad to see him back. It feels like commentary went really hard on being like, man, Shane Taylor Promotions is really coming together now. You have a pure title holder. You have a go-go knocking people out. You have Shane Taylor angling for an indiscriminate belt, like he's going to be going after some belts at some point. My other thing with that is, like, that momentum felt like it was hot 3 weeks ago, and now it feels like it hasn't been, but this is still good. Like, this should be a home for people like Ogogo to continue to discover themselves and find their identity in a lot of ways. We're seeing longer matches from him. Congratulations to him. He's back from paternity, I think, as well, so I want to see a faction feel important in ROH, because everybody else kind of splits time between being a trio and a tag team. A force like Shane Taylor Promotions is something that SP3, I feel like, is desperately needed on this product.
Yeah, especially Shane Taylor, who has so much history with the ROH brand. And I want to say, you know, also congratulations to Anthony Ogogo coming off of paternity leave, bringing a new life into the world. And he looked another, you know, solid performance from him. The pop-up jab is just, it just looks fierce because he's a former boxer. So, you know, he could really knock someone the hell out like he does. So good stuff here. I just want to see more direction for Shane Taylor Promotions. I want Shane to kind of specify what title he wants, and then maybe Ogogo can go after the other title that Shane's not going after, and maybe we can get some direction for everyone in Shane Taylor Promotions.
I agree. Some consistent storytelling would be nice there. We do see Shane Taylor in a promo after kind of emphasizing what I just said, a little bit of an exclamation point on saying that we are not to be messed with. And he's got his eyes set on a title. But hey, and something else that also doesn't matter. Brian Cage defeats Tion Russman with the inverted clover relief. Pick a lane. Are you a singles competitor? Are you a trios competitor? Will you clover leaf people on a plane? Will you do so on a train? Like, what is the Dr. Seuss-ness behind the Cage of Agony booking? I don't know. Help me make sense of it, SP3. This is, again, how many times have we said it tonight? Perfectly suitable match. Where is this going?
Brian Cage with that inverted cloverleaf, man, that looked violent. It looked even better than, and I like the prism lock by Rhea Ripley, but stomping on someone's head while doing it, even better.
She should definitely steal that.
But yeah, Shane Taylor, he got a win on one of like the first residency shows against Rocky Romero, where we both were like, hey, put Shane Taylor in the TV title lane. Put Shane Taylor after Mark Briscoe in the Ring of Honor World Championship. Here we are 2 months later. None of that happened. So I don't read anything into beating Dion Russman. I like Dion Russman. He looks good. He's got a good look. He's a bigger guy, but do I think anything's going to come out of this? Not really. No.
No, it's hard to believe anybody's headed for contendership too, because then they just hotshot someone from the main roster down. So it's like hard to, even when they start to build people, hard to believe it's going to go anywhere. But before we head into our main event, meet Norma saying, believe it or not, I spend more on veggies than ROH, and I'm starting to like veggies more. Well, I'm a vegan, so that makes me happy. But not a surprise, ROH wasn't a part of the TV deal. Delegate Tony Khan. Yeah, I think I'm going to wait and see. I haven't seen any of the, details about the TV deal. But maybe that's something Fox would want to put on their streaming service if they do a thing with Shockwave. Who knows? Who knows what things will look like after the TV rights settle? But yeah, this is a very directionless product. Unfortunately, again, it seems like the only time we get consistency is when they are parked for tapings. But finally, on to our main event. Last call for Super Chats for our side of the show. You got Joel Pearl on the back end of this talking some TNA. So stick around and support him. Leave a thumbs up on this video, too. It definitely helps us on this particular show. And hey, if you haven't touched tips already, please do. Please touch tips, because that's what we do on ROH, okay? And we are talking tag team wrestling. We got a Proving Ground match with Dustin Rhodes and Sammy Guevara versus the Dark Order. And man, I was excited because I thought the Dark Order might, I don't know, prove their ground. Because if they weren't going to, why wouldn't this just be a title defense? But no. Dustin Rhodes and Sammy defeat the Dark Order via pinfall with that swan dive onto Reynolds. Man, this just should have been a title defense. Making the Dark Order feel like they're up-and-coming talent when they've been here since the company started is stupid. But after, you have Cage of Agony, even though we just saw Brian Cage in a singles match, attack Dustin Rhodes from behind, and he and the Dark Order lay them out. Dark Order and Cage of Agony standing tall for reasons. Help me make sense of that before we bring Joel on here. Makes no sense to me.
How it makes sense to me is that Tony Khan watches our ROH post show here, because we've been saying with that first time when they had Cage of Agony, Dark Order, and Undisputed Kingdom jump the baby faces, and then they stood tall at the end of the show. We was like, it was the exception to the rule. So Tony Khan was like, I'm gonna do it twice. I'm gonna do the same angle again, and y'all gonna be like, hey, the baby faces didn't come out to make the save. See, I'm doing different stuff, guys. No, you're just doing the same thing again, just with less people. So it's not really a different angle. You just did the same thing again with lesser people. Congratulations, because I was surprised the heel stood tall to end the show. But other than that, no. And I agree with you. This probably should have been a championship match. There's already an established rivalry with Dark Order and Sammy and Dustin. Just do a title match. Let Sammy and Dustin get one. There was absolutely no hype for Dustin Rhodes and Sammy versus Undisputed Kingdom on Collision, even though that match got made before this was taped. So you could have had... It's like, what are we even doing? What are we doing?
This is a mess. It's an editing mess, which is really sad, because that's something that you could simply just care about. But I also don't like it when heels are just friends because they're heels. Like,
yeah, it does not make sense for Cage of Agony and Dark Order to work together at all. But I will, before we send Joel on, give y'all my number one.
Let's bring him up while you give him the number one. Let's rock and roll.
Oh, okay. Well, why not? There you go.
We're number one. Who's number one? Who's number one? Let's hear it.
Well, have you heard my...
We don't know, because ROH has senseless booking, so we can't really tell you who's number one. The champions aren't around. There's no contenderships. I wish I could tell you who number one was, Joel, but...
It's us.
Oh, us! Yeah, no, we're great. We're really, really great. So.
Yeah.
But who's number one? What is the number one match between Bryan Danielson and Nigel McGuinness on SP3's list?
I think this is an obvious one for most people. If you know the history... This is the obvious number one. It is Unified from 2006. Yeah. Nigel McGuinness challenging Bryan Danielson for the Ring of Honor World Championship in his home country of the UK at Unified. And oh my God, just the crowd heat. Nigel with the UK crowd behind him, bloody matchup, him getting headbutted into the ring post, the hammer and anvil elbows where Nigel looks like he's dying, like, as he's getting elbowed to death. It's just great stuff. It's just high key drama. That's on YouTube. I saw it the other day on YouTube. So you don't even have to spend the $10 on the highest rated or most expensive streaming service out there of Honor Club. You can just pop on your YouTube and watch that. That unified matchup is an instant classic. To me, it's the only five-star perfect Nigel McGuinness and Bryan Danielson matches. I rate all their other matches that I mentioned very highly, but the only one I gave five stars to is Unified, because that's the perfect Nigel and Bryan matchup. Physicality, intensity at the high peak. That is peak cinema, as they say, the cool kids say.
Well,
was there cinema on Ring of Honor tonight? I wasn't watching.
Not even a little.
Not even a little. Nope. Don't mind me while I do this right now. Okay. You're fine. Keep talking. You're good. Okay.
That's why I had to come up with a list, Joe, because there wasn't much for me to talk about on this show.
Joe, are you going to be yourself and Cresta today?
No, I have an actual overlay that I'll be using tonight.
That's almost upsetting, honestly.
I know, right? There.
How was TNA tonight?
You know what? It was actually pretty good. They're coming out of Victory Road. I have my thoughts about that. We didn't do a post show because Cresta has stepped back for a little bit. So I was operating on a 20-plus hour day, and I was like, we're done. And the people who contacted me about doing a post show, I just said, you'll be okay without my thoughts, but I'll give them tonight. So they kind of cleaned up a few things coming out of Victory Road, and they're looking forward to Bound for Glory. So you're hoping that you're going to get the best television of the year, really, for TNA, because sure. Bound for Glory is their biggest event of the year. And they're starting to get you thinking about what's happening. And there's some stuff to look forward to, and there's some stuff that I'm cautiously optimistic about.
Well, where one brand makes a complete mess of everything that they were working on, another brand starts to climb out of there, so we will pass it off to Joel.
There's still a chance.
So
I mean,
saying there's a chance.
There's a chance.
Before you guys go, SB3, nice t-shirt.
Oh, thank you.
Is
thank
your
you.
Bryan
you
Danielson
know.
Shirt?
Yeah, no, this
no, I do have that. Can't be that.
I can't have a Bryan Danielson shirt. I gotta wear regular plain shirts. That's the best thing that I can do whenever I'm talking to anybody now.
Is for professional.
Of course. TNA Victory Road, that Speedball and Zachary Wentz was one of the best TNA matches I've seen all year. That was tremendous. I even had to comment under Speedball's post when he was talking about it with Zach on Twitter. I was like, dude, that was like old school X Division at its finest. You two guys cooked.
And it's very funny because Speedball puts it over on tonight's show. And sometimes you're like, that's kind of hokey when a wrestler does that and says this is the best match ever in the X Division, blah, blah. But no, this is one time where you're looking at it and you're like, oh no, it absolutely was. He's right.
I love that.
Yeah. Go check that out if you haven't yet. Watch that X Division title match from Victory Road.
Maybe I just will, Joel.
Good.
Think about that.
Good. Maybe you can borrow my TNA Plus login. Can't watch the show on 2X speed, but you can sure as shit watch it on 0.5.
I'll send you a PowerPoint about my thoughts on that, but we're going to get out of here for now. I appreciate Joel sticking with us, even though he's co-hostless. You guys stick around and support Joel for the time being if you can. He's got a lot to update you on, it sounds like. So some good stuff happening in TNA world. SB3 and I are going to get out of here, but we'll see you next week. Thank you so much.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.